Amen, amen. God bless you all.
Amen.
This is the day the Lord has made for all of us. We've come here to meet the Lord. We've come to hear Him speak to our hearts. And we have to say, as the song goes, they come from the east and the west, from south and north, from all nations, because God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, in thee I will bless all the nations of the earth. And within just a few moments, I'd like to have Brother Daniel from Romania just to stand. Stand. This is a man God has used in a very, very special way.
Amen.
God bless you. Brother Gilbert is here from Paris. Brother Emmanuel is stand up, yes. God bless you. And all the other. Brother Thomas is here. And all the brothers who share the same word of God. Beloved, today I will just say a few words of testimony, and then of course this precious and holy word of God. We understand that this is the most important time in the history since Adam. This is the most important time for the New Testament church. And this is the time for the bride of Christ to be called out and to be prepared for the return of our Lord.
Amen.
Like our dear brother read from John chapter 14, our Lord made the promise, I go to prepare the place, then I will return and take you to be where I am.
Amen.
And then in Matthew 25, we have the message of the hour, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.
Amen.
And then in verse 10, they that were ready went in to the marriage and the door was closed.
Amen.
Beloved, we have to understand that first God makes promises, and when the time comes for those promises to be fulfilled, the supernatural takes place on earth.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, we have the promise that our Savior would come, the promise where he would be born, the promise in Isaiah 7, verse 14, a virgin will conceive and bear a son. And we have the promise in Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. We have the promise in Malachi 3, I will send my messenger before my face to prepare my way before me. And when the time of fulfillment came, the angel Gabriel came down from heaven, speaking to Zacharias, standing at the right hand of the altar, giving the promise of the birth of John the Baptist and saying, he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to prepare the ways of the Lord.
Amen.
And if you go to the second promise in Malachi chapter 4, the promise is that Elijah would come. And there is a double promise to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, not the heads, the hearts.
Amen.
To turn the hearts of the Old Testament fathers to the New Testament children.
Amen.
And if you go to Luke chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, the first part to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children was fulfilled, and it says, a well-prepared people for the Lord.
Amen.
But the second promise, to turn the hearts of God's children back to the apostolic fathers, back to the original teachings of the Word of God, back to the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. And therefore, we have to recognize what happened in our day and time. Just as the angel came to announce the birth of John the Baptist, so the angel came to Mary announcing the birth of our Lord and Savior. And if I say this before God Almighty, when Brother Branham gave his testimony of what happened on May the 7th, 1946, he said, I was sitting, having my Bible, reading, and suddenly a supernatural light came down, and the angel stepped in that light and stood before Brother Branham and said, I'm sent from the presence of Almighty God to tell you that your peculiar birth and life are to indicate that there is a ministry for you to do, even saying, as Moses was given two signs, you are given two signs.
Amen.
The first would be, and imagine the first would be that Brother Branham would take the hand of the patient in the prayer line, and the angel of the Lord said, turn your hand up like this and tell the patient to look what happens. And if the patient had a cancer or tumor, that appeared on Brother Branham's hand. And the angel said, tell the patient not to close their eyes, but watch what happens. And the moment Brother Branham prayed and the healing took place, that cancer or tumor vanished from his hand, and people were shouting and praising God. Beloved, I just mention these things because I knew Brother Branham for 10 years. I was in his meetings in Germany, in his meetings in the USA, drove with him in the same car, ate with him at the same table. So I'm an eyewitness, I'm an ear witness of what the Lord has done in our time. Also, from the USA, as I usually take with me these documents. You know, everybody on earth knows Life magazine. And the supernatural cloud, the supernatural cloud that appeared on February the 28th, 1963, went from the supernatural cloud. Brother Branham was told these words: return to Jeffersonville for the opening of the Seven Seals. The sign in Science magazine, giving on the first page the photo of the supernatural cloud, giving the report where it happened, 42 miles from Tucson, Arizona. It happened that a mighty storm and seven thunders accompanied the supernatural appearing of the cloud. And Brother Branham says the trees were just, the tops of the trees were just like this, bent down, broken because of the mighty storm. And the earthquake shook all the area, and the rocks were rolling down the mountains. And Brother Green, who lived in Tucson, he took us there to see with our own eyes the rocks which had fallen down the mountain, and to see the trees which were bent down and cut like this. So by the grace of God, not only in the meetings, but personally being a witness of the supernatural things the Lord has done in our time. And the main thing, even with this picture of the supernatural light above Brother Branham's head, when I heard Brother Branham say that this picture hangs in Washington, D.C., I don't forget December the 18th, 1968. I took a flight to Washington. I searched all morning until I found the Hall of Art and saw this picture there. I wanted to know, I believed what Brother Branham said, but I wanted to be a witness. I wanted to see with my own eyes. So by the grace of God, I'm not here to talk about imaginations. I'm here to talk about facts. Amen. And there it happened, as you all know, from the supernatural light, Brother Branham was told these words: as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent with the message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. This happened on June the 11th, 1933. So I took a trip not only to the tabernacle, but with those who were present also to the Ohio River where it happened. So by the grace of God, I can say what my eyes have seen, my ears have heard from the Word of Life about the supernatural things which have happened. And brothers and sisters, we have to say, no one could do these things that happened. The blind, born blind, received their sight. God confirmed the word 280 times in his sermons. Brother Branham referred to John chapter 5, verse 19. The Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do, the Son does likewise. Brother Branham saw in a vision what would take place, and he could say it and confirm it with, thus says the Lord. Remember, The supernatural has taken place in our time. And God has sent his servant and prophet to reveal all the hidden mysteries from Genesis to Revelation. I would have no message unless the messenger would have come to share with us the message. And the message is the word of God, right from Genesis to Revelation 22. The main thing, beloved, is the promise for this day. And the New Testament begins with fulfillment of promises from the Old Testament.
Amen.
Everything about our Lord and Savior was written in the Old Testament. About his ministry, Isaiah chapter 35. About his sufferings, Isaiah 53. About his resurrection, Psalms 16. About his going to heaven, Psalms 47. Everything was written in the Old Testament.
Amen.
And then when the time came, all these predictions and prophecies were fulfilled.
Amen.
And in Luke 24, our Lord referred to what's written in the books of Moses, in the Psalms, and in the prophets, that it all had to take place. So, beloved, we're living in a prophetic age.
Amen.
We're living at the time when Bible prophecies are being fulfilled.
Amen.
Worldwide with Israel, but also with the Church of the Living God. So the main promise is that God would send a prophet like Elijah to restore. What does restore mean? To bring into the original shape.
Amen.
If this building would collapse, if it's being restored, it would have the same measurements, same size, everything would be the same.
Amen.
So by the grace of God, the New Testament church, the true believers, must be restored to where the New Testament church was at the very beginning.
Amen.
Many times in my sermons, in my preaching, I said the first and the last sermon must be the same.
Amen.
Many times I said the first and the last baptism must be the same.
Amen.
But let me say today, the first and the last baptism of the Holy Spirit must also be the same.
Amen.
We must have the same experiences the New Testament believers had at the beginning. And if you go from Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell and 3,000 were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever the apostles were speaking, preaching the word of God, the Lord confirmed the same as it did at the very beginning. In Acts chapter 10, we read in the last three verses about what happened when the apostle Peter was preaching. And it says here in verse 47, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized that have received the same Holy Spirit as we did?" Those who have received the same baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And then if you go to chapter 11, verse 15, we read Acts chapter 11, verse 15, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning." Brothers and sisters, it's not enough to speak about the message or the messenger. We must be prepared. We must have the same experiences of salvation. That we repent of our sins, that tears will roll down, that we feel sorry for the life we lived without Christ, that we repent and ask the Lord to forgive us. And then, as Paul was also writing, that we should be renewed in our innermost being, renewed by the Holy Spirit. And as our Lord in John chapter 3 said, "Ye must be born again."
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we need those personal experiences of salvation from the first to the last. And then we shall have part in what God is doing right now. Otherwise, we just hear, we admire, but we must partake. We must have part in what God is doing right now, as it was at the first coming of Christ in John chapter 1. He came to his own, and his own received him not. And the next verse says, "As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God."
Amen.
Some receive, some don't. But if you receive Jesus Christ, if you receive the message of the hour, the true word of God, you take your stand on God's side, and the Lord is responsible to fulfill every promise he made in his word. Why? Because Paul was writing in Galatians chapter 4, verse 28, "But ye, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." The children of promise believe every word of promise, and they receive the spirit of promise. It goes together. And by the grace of God, we understand that this is the time, the very special time. And we're not living just in the end time. We have reached the end of the end time. And we see by all things which are happening that the return of our Lord is just at the door. And that's how it says, "Look up, for your redemption is drawing near." When look up? Our Lord spoke about the signs of the end time, and then he said, "When you see all these things come to pass, then you know the time is near."
Amen.
"Even at the door." So this is God's time for God's people.
Amen.
To be serious, to have our personal experiences.
Amen.
Let the tears come. Let us repent. Let us seek God like Jacob. You remember in the Old Testament, first he was Jacob. First he saw a ladder and he saw the Lord. But then he met the Lord and he wrestled with him. And the Lord gave him a little knock. And then he was lame. But what? not only to see that God has established a connection between heaven and earth, but to meet the Lord personally, to have the personal experience with the Lord of salvation, of renewing, of being born again, of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So the precious word of God is so wonderful, and I will have to repeat this over and over again. This is God's time, not only to speak about the prophet that was sent or the message that he brought, but prepare, get ready to meet the Lord, because they that are ready will go in to the marriage supper of the Lamb. How many of you have heard about the ministry of Brother Branham? Have heard? Let me see your hands. Maybe not all. Some are new. But beloved, we have to share these things that God promised for our day. And beloved, everything was restored. Every Bible doctrine. And for us, the main teaching is about the Godhead. To know God personally. And God personally manifested himself in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I just love that subject. It's not only number one. It's in my heart, day and night, to know God, to know him in the power of his resurrection through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we have to say this. Officially, we are being attacked because we don't believe the Nicene Creed. The claim of those who have their own teachings in the churches, officially. I was even called by telephone. Why do you not believe in the Trinity? And the men, the doctor so-and-so said, all churches, all denominations believe in the Trinity. Why don't you believe in the Holy Trinity? Because there is no Holy Trinity. There's one God forever and ever. And no one has seen God at any time, because God is spirit. All through eternity, God was in spirit and life. And then at the beginning of time, he stepped out from that eternal fullness of light and life into a visible form of appearance as Lord. Amen. And it's also so important to read in the Old Testament. When does the Bible speak about God? When does it speak about the Lord God? It's so important. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1, hallelujah, you only have the word Elohim, which is translated as God. But from Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, over 4,500 times, you have the combination Elohim Yahweh. Amen. Lord God. God the Lord. So the invisible manifested himself in a visible form of appearance. Not a second person. The same God. The same person. And God can be in heaven and on earth at the same time. He can be our Father in heaven and being manifested in his only begotten Son here on earth. So by the grace of God, we don't go back to Nicaea or to any council. We go back to the beginning. Back to what the apostles were teaching and preaching and practicing. And so we understand the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Never, never does the scripture say that God in eternity was a Father and has begotten and born a Son as a second person. Never. One God manifesting Himself as Creator, Sustainer, King, Judge. God is everything. But for our salvation, the same God manifests Himself as our Father in heaven, in His only begotten Son, to redeem us and to place us back into our original position as sons and daughters of God. That is why the manifestation of our Savior as Son of God has taken place, to bring us back into our personal relationship to God, that we can say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But nobody prays our Son who art in heaven. Nobody prays our Holy Ghost who art in heaven. No, we go back to every word of God precisely, precisely, and only say and teach what the Bible says and teaches. So, in our time, God used Brother Branham to clarify all these Bible doctrines about the Godhead, about the water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is the New Testament covenant name. Amen. Thou shalt call His name Yahshua, which means Yahweh Savior. In our Bibles, call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. So by the grace of God, we were brought back to the original teachings of the Word of God, taken out of all confusion. So we don't go back 325 to Nicaea, when philosophers were trying to put the Godhead together. No, you don't need to put anything together. Nobody can say that Jesus Christ is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It must be a divine revelation given to you. And our Lord even said, nobody knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Son is and the Father is except the Son. It's all upon divine revelation from beginning to the end. So I have to emphasize that William Branham was not sent to start a new religion, a new denomination. No, he was sent by God to bring us back to the original foundation, to the original teachings of the Word of God, of the apostles. And why was the word Elijah used? I will send you the prophet Elijah. What did Elijah do? I have to say this wherever I share the Word of God. What did Elijah do? You can read from 1 Kings chapter 11 to chapter 18. All the Israelites were walking into different directions. Some were going into the mountains of Ephraim, were building their own altars, putting their own priests into the place, not returning to Jerusalem. Some were following the Asherah priests, some were following the Baal priests, And at that time, God sent the prophet Elijah. What did he do? He took the 12 stones according to the 12 tribes. He established the broken down altar. And then he put the sacrifice. And then he prayed, "Let it be known today that you are the only true God in Israel, and I'm your servant, and that I have done all this according to your word." And then the fire fell. And if you read in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 37, there it says, the Lord God turned their hearts. This is the message, that the hearts of God's people be turned back to God, to the Word, to the original teachings of the Holy Scriptures. That is the purpose of the sending the messenger and also the message. Out of all denominations, and by the way, I don't know if I can even say this, but 500 years ago, on October the 31st this year, 500 years ago, the Reformation broke through. But now, all will go to Wittenberg from all denominations, from all over the world, to declare that we all belong to one church. But by the grace of God, we don't go to Wittenberg and we don't go to Rome. We go to God. We go to the Word of God. And I have to say this also over and again. This is God's time to call out from all denominations. And beloved brothers and sisters, if you read church history, those who believed the message of Luther came out from the Catholic Church. Those who believed the message of Wesley came out from the Lutheran Church. Those who believed the message of John Smith, the Baptist man, came out. They came out and came out and came out in every revival since the time of Reformation. Those children of God living at that time, hearing the word preached, they came out, came out, came out until the Pentecostal revival broke through in 1906. And everybody knows about Los Angeles. But where has it come to? Even all those, like Brother Branham in 1946, he was saved. And only through his ministry and through the divine gift of healing, this last healing revival had its course. It began. It began. There were men of God, Smith Wigglesworth, Charles Price. There were men of God before. But when the Lord gave a direct commission to Brother Branham, that is when the healing revival started in 1946. The Pentecostal revival started in 1906. But now, to crown it, the healing revival started. And to crown that, the last message is given to the people of God. Some remain with this part and with the other part, but the true elect, they don't stop. They continue to move on with the Lord. Like we have to believe the word of God, and to share the same message that God gave at the beginning. As we read in the two references here in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11. And brothers and sisters, There was one point Brother Branham emphasized very strongly. That was the word and whatever goes with it, with unbelief. The word unbelief. Unbelief. And Brother Branham says, the original sin in the Garden of Eden was unbelief. And how did unbelief come into existence? Because the enemy and the serpent spoke to Eve, putting doubts behind what God had said. Did God surely say? Did God? God had said. But Satan came to put doubt behind what God had said. And that's how unbelief came into existence. And if you read in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, you read it three times, one after the other, about unbelief. Unbelief is terrible. God can do nothing with unbelief. Unbelief will destroy you, just destroy you, finished. You will be no more. Therefore, we have to emphasize that we should and must believe the word of God. Here in Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil of unbelief in denying the living God. Of unbelief, the word unbelief is here. Take heed that no unbelief, that no doubt will be found in you in reference to God or to His word. Don't make God a liar. The Apostle Paul said, if you don't believe God, you make Him a liar. Satan is a liar. Satan is a deceiver. God is true. And we believe every word of God the way it is written. And also, if you read the last verse in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now remember, all the Israelites came out. The blood was shed. The lamb was killed. And the Lord God had said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood was there. But then unbelief came into their hearts. And they could not see the promised land. It's not enough to be purchased by the blood, to be redeemed. You have to believe every word of God. And you have to obey every word of God. And you have to have the original experiences the true children of God have. And also, if you go to chapter 4, in Hebrews chapter 4, here it says again, in the last part of verse 5, entered not because of unbelief. Entered not because of unbelief. In verse 11, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Unbelief makes you to stumble, to doubt. But please, as our Lord said, believe in me, as the scripture says. And then there will be streams of living water coming forth. There will be a result shown to you, to me, to all of us, if we believe according to the word of God. Let us summarize what we try to say here today by the grace of God. And you understand, in 1955, when I met Brother Branham the first time and shook his hand, I was 21 and a half, and now I'm 83 and a half. Beloved brothers and sisters, but I look back with a thankful heart for what God has done, for what God has done all over the earth. And as you know, just again as a testimony, my eyes were the last ones to see Brother Branham in the coffin, and I was there when he was buried. But on the same day, I never wept in my life as much as I wept on April the 11th, 1966, when the man of God was buried. All had come together, expecting the resurrection, singing "Only Believe" and singing, and also "On the Wings of a Snow White Dove." But the resurrection didn't take place. I just wept. I talked to the Lord. I said, "Dear Lord, how can the bride be prepared without this ministry you gave to this man?" And I wept. I don't think I ever wept as much in one day as I did on April the 11th, 1966. But when I came home or back to the hotel, something happened, just like a peace of God filling my soul. And this time, not an audible voice, but it spoke in my heart. "Now your time has come to go from city to city, from country to country, to share and to preach the word of God." So this is what I have done. Because of the direct commission the Lord had given to me on April the 2nd, 62. Please, if you heard this testimony a number of times, but you will never imagine what it means to a person to have heard with these ears, the audible, all-penetrating, all-commanding voice of the Lord. But by the grace of God, when the time came, I had to obey. It happened on April 2nd, 62, but now it was April 66. The time had come. And Brother Branham told me on December the 3rd, 1962, "Brother Frank, wait with the giving out of the food until you get the rest of the food," speaking about the sermons which are being taped. And every sermon Brother Branham preached was sent to me in Germany. But the moment this man of God was taken to glory, my time had come to go from city to city, from country to country, from continent to continent, to share this holy word of God with God's people all over the earth. And if we count it right, I visited from that time exactly 163 countries, traveling, year after year, months after months, in many countries. I've been many times, like in India. But by the grace of God, we are now coming very close, when the Lord will put all things into the divine order.
Amen.
In our lives, in the church, in the ministries, that everything will be as it was at the beginning.
Amen.
The same experiences that go together with the salvation, repentance, baptism, renewing, being born again, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, right to the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And let me say this in love. Just now, on the last weekend, a brother from another country in Europe just spoke a few minutes, and he said, "Brother Frank, in our small city, we have got 8 different groups claiming to believe the message of the hour." And then he said, "They all differ with one another, but they agree against you." They agree against you. They differ from one another. Yeah, but they're all one against you. Beloved, I don't represent any doctrine. No thunders, nothing. I've never preached anything in my life except from the Word of God. I don't take quotes out of context. I leave everything the way it was said and where it was preached. So, beloved, let me say this, and I'm asking you, can God finish his work in such a confusion that believers go in different directions? No, and once again, no. The true believers in every country, in every city, will come together. The true believers will never follow a man. One man comes with 7 thunders, the other with 2 souls, the other with 2 persons, the other with return ministry. Many, many different directions. So now we need the divine orientation back to the Holy Word of God. And only if there is a promise in the Word of God, there can be a fulfillment. So, by the grace of God, among the bride, a confusion will end. We shall not follow a man who presents his own teachings. We shall all follow Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And I commend all brothers all over the world never to say in their preaching, "Brother Frank said." No brother on earth has a right to go to the pulpit and say, "Brother Frank said." Now, please say what God says. What God says in his word. What the apostles preach. And then you don't connect the people to a man. You connect the people to God. And this is what we have to understand. We don't follow a man with a certain teaching. We follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who made the statement in the Great Commission, "Go and teach all nations." As our brother mentioned at the beginning, Brother Branham was a prophet. I'm not a prophet, but God gave me a teaching ministry. And a prophet can say something, but a teacher must place what the prophet said within the word of God. So the apostles in the New Testament placed every prophetic scripture and everything that happened according to the plan of God in the New Testament. And therefore, we have exactly 845 times reference made in the New Testament to the Old Testament. Whatever was written was shown in its fulfillment. So we have done with the ministry of Brother Branham. We placed everything back into the Word of God. And as Brother Branham took the Bible and said, "This is my absolute," so do we. This is our absolute. And I never preach anything unless I can preach it from the Word of God. Beloved, this is the day the Lord has made. Please, make the right decision. Don't follow a man. Follow Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't believe any interpretation. Believe the original Word of God. And for everything that God does, we have not only one, we have at least two, three, and more scriptures speaking about the same subject. Never does a teaching just exist on one verse. No, even like baptism. You have to go from Matthew to Mark, from Mark to Luke, from Luke to John, and then to Acts 2, to Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19. You have to go from scripture to scripture to see how everything was placed within the precious and holy Word of God. Let me say this, I'm weak in my body, but let me say this again. Please, never doubt the Word of God. Unbelief is terrible. Unbelief separates you from God. Unbelief puts question mark behind what God has said. Believe. Believe every word of God. Believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Believe that He shed His blood, that He gave us redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Receive it, because this is what our Lord said in Luke. He said, "Go and teach all nations and preach the forgiveness of sins in His name." Luke 24, verse 47. Beloved, we return to God, and that is the purpose of William Branham's ministry that was promised and ordained of Almighty God, to bring us back to God, back to the Word, back to the same experiences that our brothers and sisters had at the very beginning. How many believe in the second coming of Christ? Everybody. How many prepare for the second coming of Christ? How many believe the message of the hour? God bless you. How many are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? God bless you. So I'm at home. I don't need to come back again. You all believe. You have preachers here, teachers here. And as our brother read also from Matthew 24, can you imagine? Where's our brother from Edmonton? Is he here? Can you stand? Our brother Ellis and the family, all that came from Edmonton. God bless you. This is a brother from Edmonton. Can you imagine what happens in Edmonton? I shall never, never forget. It was Sunday in the morning, just after 6 in the morning. I'd dressed myself, was ready for the day, reached over to take my Bible I wanted to read. The sun was up, shining into the room. As you hear my voice, I ordained you as my servant according to Matthew 24, verse 45 to 47.
Amen.
To give out the food and to share the word of God. In Edmonton, Canada, on 128th Street, on that Sunday morning. So please understand, with a divine commission, where the Lord has given instructions a number of times, I have a responsibility that you cannot imagine. Just to share the true word of God, to ask you in the name of the Lord, believe. Believe with all your heart that Brother Branham was the promised prophet, that he put the teachings of the 12 apostles in its place as Elijah took the 12 stones. So did William Branham replace the altar of the Lord, put the doctrines of the apostles as it is written in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they remind in the doctrines of the apostles in prayer, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread. My God, by his grace, unite the body of Christ in such a love. And what did Brother Branham say? Only perfect love will enter there. And then in his speaking with Brother Levale, the Lord corrected him and said, not only perfect love, but also to believe every word of God. Perfect love believes every word of God, obeys every word of God, and only perfect love. And if we do the perfect will of God, we shall see the Lord in glory when he returns to take us home. Many things I could tell you. How many are glad that you're here today? Let this be the day, honestly, not because I'm here, but because the Lord is here, gathering his people, even to the moment when he said, my servant, gather my people unto me, that they may hear my words. Not the words of a man, but the words of Almighty God. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. But experiences of the supernatural go together with a divine call. So I'm grateful to Almighty God to have been a witness of what the Lord has done in our time. Grateful for the years the Lord has granted to me to share the last message, the true word of God, the true teachings. And as I said in the beginning, beloved brothers and sisters, It's not enough to say the first sermon and the last, the first baptism and the last, and the first in it. But let us pray and believe that the Lord will give us the same experiences. The same experiences connected to the salvation of our soul. That true faith and true obedience will set in, and no doubt be found, no unbelief, but everything by the grace of God put into the right place. How many wish to be ready when the Lord returns? Let us stand for a word of prayer. I believe the Lord is in this place. I believe He promised and He keeps His promise. I have today a burden upon my heart, not only to share the word, but to say those who need the Lord to come to Him in faith. I like to see the results of the preaching, even if the preaching is so soft in voice and with a body a little frail, but the Word of God is an almighty word. I like to see the fruit of the teaching and preaching of today. I like to see the sinners repent. I like to see those that never accepted the Lord as a personal Savior to do it right now. Today, when you hear His voice, not the voice of a preacher, but the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Word of God. I didn't speak about me, I spoke about the Lord and the Word of God. So all who have never had the experience of salvation, never confessed their sins, including unbelief and what goes with it, this is your day. Beloved, this is your day.
Amen.
The day the Lord has made for you. You did not come in vain. You came for a divine purpose, that the grace of God would be manifested in your life. And those have not yet been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, make your decision right now. True faith goes together with obedience. Unbelief goes together with disobedience. May this be the day when the true fear of God comes upon us. May this be the day that we realize we need our personal experiences, that it can be said with us, as it was said in Acts 10, that the Holy Spirit fell like it did at the beginning. Also in Acts 11, verse 15, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let the Holy Spirit work in such a mighty way. May the blood of the Lamb cleanse everyone. May unbelief be taken away and true faith set in. Dear Lord, I pray that the things that were preached and taught here today would become a reality in all of the lives of all the brothers and sisters gathered here today in the city of London, but also wherever the believers are connected online to hear the word of God. May this be the day the Lord has made for all of us. May this be the day the Lord has put a true desire into our hearts to have the same experiences right up to the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, right to the sealing of the Spirit until the day of our redemption. Dear Lord, we're not here in vain. There's a purpose, a divine purpose connected to the last message. Ye, my people, come out from among them, be ye separate, says the Lord, then I will receive you. You shall be my sons and my daughters, and I will be your God. Dear Lord, I claim every soul that hears and believes the word of God for the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray that your word will not return void, but accomplish what it was sent for. And together we'll give you praise, honor, and glory for opening our eyes that we might see, for opening our hearts that we might believe, for opening everything that we need to see and to believe and have part in what you, dear Lord, are doing at this time. Lord, I pray that all who have come to hear your word will be blessed with the blessings of Almighty God. That all will say, like Jacob said, I don't leave you until you have blessed me. That all will say, Lord, do it now. I come, we come together. Lord, I don't leave you until you saved me, you healed me, you blessed me, you give all to me by the grace of God. I don't leave you, and you will never leave us and never forsake us. You will be with us right to the end until we shall see you face to face. Dear Lord, my heart is just full, and I just give you praise, honor, and glory for the grace you showed unto us, that we may recognize the day, the message, and prepare for your return. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him. Why don't you all say in your heart, dear Lord, let me be part of the wise virgins, that whatever is written in verse 10 in Matthew 25 shall be fulfilled with me, that I will be ready at the moment of your return. Dear Lord, you went to prepare the place for those you redeemed, and you will return and take the redeemed to glory. And again, dear Lord, I say, I claim every soul in the name of Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God, and I claim every soul that hears and believes the promised word for this day to be part of the bride of Christ, to be ready to prepare for the great day of your return. Dear Lord, save the lost, heal the sick, deliver those who are bound, confirm your word, and let all have the original experiences of salvation, right to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, dear Lord. You started the work and you will finish the work of salvation. Praise, honor, and glory be given to you, the Almighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And everybody says amen.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. God bless you. God bless you.